Good morning. It is so wonderful to be over here with you guys, and especially during the Advent season when we have so much to celebrate and so much to be thankful for. And I just want to thank this wonderful band for leading us in worship. Can you, I just tell you what, they're really something. You know, this is the third Sunday of Advent. We've already been talking about peace and hope. And today we're going to be talking about joy, which I don't know about you, but for me, it's one of the more elusive of the gifts that we are celebrating during the Advent season. You know, how do you find joy? How do you seek after joy? We all look for it. We all chase after it. And sometimes it's just almost there, but not quite. We find our fleeting pleasures and we find our momentary happiness, but the deep joy that we know is there is sometimes hard to grasp. I have a question for you, and I'd like for you to just fill in the blank. The question is, next slide please, I could be happy if only I had, think about that. I could be happy if only I had what? I remember when I first came into the workforce at the age of 18, and I was working full time. By about week three, I was ready to retire. But around 6 months or a year into it, you know, they gave me a nice raise, and I said, finally, I've made it. Now that I'm making more money than I did before, I'll be able to afford the things that I really want. Boy, was that a vain hope. Because somehow it just disappeared. It just melted into the rest of my bills, and I couldn't even tell I had a raise. And so I continued to work and work, and I kept hoping that the next raise would put me over that, you know, and I could afford the stuff that I want. But again, it always seemed to just kind of fade away and evaporate like so much water on the table. And after a while, I began to learn that that's not the answer to that question. So I just want to ask you, and you can just shout them out, if I only had what, I could be happy.
More time.
I'm sorry, what?
More time.
Okay. If only you could have joy. Okay, well, that's kind of circular, but yeah. Anything else? I'm having a hard time hearing up here, but I hope you guys can hear.
Sleep.
I hear that. I heard that one. That one rang true in my heart, too. If only I had more sleep, I could be happy. The truth is what Saint Augustine said so many years ago, our hearts are restless until they find rest in Thee, O Lord. We chase after the things, we chase after the stuff, we even chase after relationships, hoping that that will make us happy when in fact our hearts are restless until they find rest in Thee. C.S. Lewis, one of the great Christian apologists of the 20th century, had an interesting observation about joy. He wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And you know what he called the pursuit of joy? He called it idolatry. Idolatry. Now, I thought God wanted us to be happy, but he says, if we're chasing after joy, we're chasing after the product or the fruits of our relationship with God instead of chasing after God and God's self. So if we are chasing after joy or happiness, that's our God, is that kind of happiness, and that's idolatry. He suggests instead that if you look for joy in that kind of a way, you'll never find it, but if you seek after Him, you'll be surprised by the joy in your life. Now think about some of the most joyous times you've ever had. Just think of one of them. What was the most joyful thing that ever happened to you, and I would be willing to wager that there was a surprise element to it. I mean, you might have known you were going to be happy, but something happened that just caught you off guard and you didn't realize your joy could be that deep and that real. I'll offer you a couple of examples in my life. When my wife had our first child, that wasn't a surprise. I knew it was coming for about 9 months. But when I first held Daniel in my arms, he was so soft and so warm. He just kind of conformed to my body shape. And this little miracle that had been part of my wife's body just a few moments ago seemed to kind of melt into my body, and we bonded in ways more than physical. And that caught me by surprise. I had never experienced fatherhood before. I had never experienced the miracle of birth in such an intimate way before, and I was surprised by the joy. I was very young when we had our first child. I was 22, and I was worried about being able to make ends meet. So when this child came into my arms, suddenly all those worries went away, and I was surprised by the joy. Well, fast forward a few years. I've had 3 kids, and they've given me 4 grandchildren, granddaughters, and all of them have been occasions for joy. But you know, after 3 births from your own wife and then 4 grandchildren come along, it gets to be kind of routine. You know, it's like, call me up when you're done, okay? So when Bethany, my youngest child, was having my youngest granddaughter, she would call me and we'd text from time to time, how's it going? Well, you know, I'm so many centimeters and all that kind of stuff. And I was about to go to bed when I got a phone call from Bethany, and things had taken a turn for the worse. She was bleeding out, and she had called to tell me goodbye. Well, needless to say, you know that scripture passage, you know, do not be afraid, do not worry about anything, but all things, you know, make your prayers. Well, I wasn't very good at that. I spent the next hour scared to death until the next phone call rang and I was assured that the baby was fine and the mother's going to be fine and everything's fine. And there I was surprised by a joy that I didn't know I could have. So you think about your own life experience, and I will manage to guess that the greatest joys in your life have come with that kind of surprise. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about what joy, you know, is like in these circumstances and how we can work our way into enjoying life the way God wants us to enjoy life. Now, this is not going to be one of those how-to messages, okay? I don't want this to turn into a TED talk, okay? This is going to be a God talk. This is God's word for you. This is God's word for you about what joy he has in store for you. I'd like to share with you a passage from the first chapter of Luke. I think you may have already heard it during the Advent lighting of the candles. But would you please stand for the hearing of this word as you are able? Luke 1, 39 to 45. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Have a seat. Yeah, you know, Mary had this visit from the angel Gabriel, and he gave her some news, which was somewhat disturbing, but also joyful. And so she sang a song of her own. And then she went, she also had the message that her cousin Elizabeth was also pregnant with one who would pave the way for her son, Jesus. So she hurried down to Judea to visit her cousin, and her cousin was filled with the Holy Spirit. How else would she have known that Mary was pregnant, or that Mary was pregnant with the Son of God? So she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and those words just blurted out, and I believe it probably surprised her as much as anyone, but she was filled with joy. Mary was filled with joy. She had received a visit from an angel telling her how special this child would be. And guess who else was joyful? Little baby John, not even born yet. As soon as Mary came in the room, he jumped in his mother's womb. Why are all these people so happy? Why are all these people so filled with joy? Is it because they're looking forward to the wealth that will finally make them happy? Is it because there's a promise that the oppressive Roman government will be overthrown and that they will have their own freedom? Or could it be that they felt something welling up within them that was bigger than they are? You know, each of us have a body that is a vessel, and we hold things. But sometimes we have the privilege of holding something that's bigger than our bodies. We are infilled with the Holy Spirit to the point of bursting. We are infilled with the Holy Spirit, which has power to transform not only our lives, but the lives of the whole world. And that was what was happening there, because Elizabeth suddenly realized she had a purpose in life. Her purpose was to give birth to John the Baptist, who would pave the way for the Son of God. And Mary had purpose in her life because she suddenly realized that she would be the mother of God. And little Johnny leaped for joy even before he was born, because God had placed within him a purpose for his life. And as Mary came into the room, he saw the unfolding of that purpose so that his life would be filled. And with the filling of purpose, there comes joy. So let that be kind of a lesson for all of us, that if we really want to chase after joy, one of the most important things we can do is find our purpose that God has for us in Jesus Christ. And when we pursue that purpose, the joy comes as a big surprise. So as we listen to this story, three words come to my mind that might help us. It's a, you know, they kind of rhyme, so maybe it's easy to remember. The first one is keep. Keep focus on Jesus. You know, there's a lot of distractions in the world out here. A lot of things that would pull us away. We have parties to go to, presents to buy, end of the year tasks to finish at work, ways to keep our children occupied when they get out of school because the teachers aren't taking care of them anymore. We have distractions and we are busy, but keep your focus on the purpose for the season, Jesus himself. And that will keep you on the right track. The other use of the word keep is like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, to take care of, to tend to let no harm come to. We tend our relationship with God. We continue in the disciplines of our religion so that we continue with prayer or fasting or communion and celebrating baptisms and celebrating the fellowship in the community of Christ. All of those things which build up our faith. If we neglect those things, we're not tending to our relationship with God. But as long as we tend to that relationship, it's like the parable of the sower. You know, the sower would throw some seeds on rocky soil, and what would happen? The seeds immediately sprung up. It was a joyful time. But the sun withered it away because why? It did not have any roots to go deep. And so it could not face the trials of the world, and it withered away. So we need to tend to our relationship with God. The second thing is deep. Rhymes with keep, just so you know. To go deeper in our relationship with God. To take what we have to the next level. And I don't mean the next level up. I mean the next level down to the depths of our soul. And we have ways of doing that as well. As a matter of fact, we had a wonderful experience last year as we ushered in the new year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're planning to do that again. And so I would like to invite Susie Chapman to come up and tell us about what happened last year and what's about to happen this coming year, 2019. This is a way to grow deep. Thank you, Susie.
Amen. Good morning. I can't see you. And yes, praise the Lord, a way to go deep. And I want to tell you about 2019. 2019 can be the best year that we can have, if it's the best year we have spiritually. Our pastors have given us the opportunity to grow in discipleship. And like January of 2018, we plan to start this new year with a time of corporate worship, prayer, and fasting. It's going to be January 7 through 27. And if you have not yet gotten an awakening book, they look like this, and they will be available to us all. It's a great resource of biblical information, encouragement, and 21 days of devotion. And I'm so excited about awakening. My experience with the 21-day fasting has been life-changing. Now, for those of you who are not regular fasters, this season of your life have maybe experienced it and put it aside. I don't want you to tune me out, because fasting is biblical. And it's still beneficial today. Please don't say, I can't, because we can. We can do all things through Christ. We as blessed beyond measure Christian Americans can find something in our busy, hurried, overabundant lives from which to fast. The author of the book Awakening, Stovall Weems, puts it like this: prayer is connecting to God, where fasting is disconnecting from the world. And under the leading of the Holy Spirit, our pastors have encouraged and modeled the spiritual discipline of fasting. And God has taken my husband and I through a journey in 2018, experiencing surrender, renewed passion for God, soul healing, greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, clearer vision of our lives in Him, and assignments of being salt and light in our world of influence. I've experienced through physical hunger, the soul yearning to be less of me and more of Him. In church, there's nothing like the sweet, sweet voice of our Father, so clearly and personally, specifically, fresh manna, the word for us. And it's not just for me, it's for every one of us, His children. It's a wonderful honor to be asked by our pastors to share with you what the 21-day fast and awakening has done for me and why I recommend it for you. But the wealth and the depth of the experience is just too great to put in 3 minutes. However, I beseech you, brethren, to prayerfully consider joining the Awakening Challenge of 2019. Together through us, Christ can make an even greater impact in our families, in our church, in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in the world. And let me add one more thing, that our Abba Father loves us so much that he honors those steps, how big or how small, that we take and turn toward him, that we keep seeking him. So please join in the awakening in whatever level of surrender and prayer, fasting and worship that you feel the Lord is leading you. And as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Let's seek him first this new year, and we, the church, will have the best year yet.
Thank you, Susie. That's a wonderful testimony. Can I just see your book for a second? That's got to be the most worn out book I've ever seen. So just know that she walks the walk. Thank you so much. Yesterday, I attended Susie's mother's funeral. And so to me, Susie is an example of someone who lives out the message of joy that goes beyond her current circumstances. And this is the kind of joy that God wants to have for each and every person. That the joy that comes from seeking after Jesus and keeping him in your life and going deeper with him is a joy that will blow the lid off of whatever problems you might have. The third thing that I want to mention is leap. You leap into your purpose. Seeking your purpose and being sure of your purpose, claiming your purpose, and then you got to take that leap toward your purpose. It's a leap of faith, because it's never going to be just laid out for you. It's never going to just fall in your lap. And you certainly are never going to be impelled into it against your will. It's something that takes courage, or dare I say, trust and faith in God. When you know your purpose, when you're sure of your purpose and you claim it for yourself, and you take that leap, knowing that God is with you and will open those doors for you and will give you the strength and the courage and the tenacity to continue on despite all of the things that would bat you down. Because let's face it, the devil's still at work around here. That's what Jesus came into the world for. That's why Jesus died on the cross. I'd like to invite the band to come forward and lead us out in worship. And as they do, I just want to invite you to think about these things. Think about how you have been chasing after joy. Think about what C.S. Lewis had to say about being surprised by joy while you're seeking the heavenly kingdom. Think about what you've been doing to keep Jesus in your heart, to go deeper into a life of faith, and to leap into that great unknown where Jesus can fill you with the joy that he has in store. Amen. And amen.